Welcome to another installment of Fighting for the Faith. My name is Chris Rosebro. I am your servant in Jesus Christ. This is the channel that compares what people are saying in the name of God to the Word of God. So, from time to time, I do these episodes. We call them dumpster fires. This is a dumpster fire episode of Fighting for the Faith. And what ends up happening is that as I research, as I look at what is going on out there, what is being taught, and the things that are happening in the wider church, and collecting up those, you know, those segments that I think would make for an episode of Fighting for the Faith, there's a certain number of them that don't warrant an episode all by themselves. It would just, it would be short. It would be kind of just, you know, and plus I'd really want to teach. It's what it comes down to. All of that being said, I don't know what to do with them. So I save them up, and then after I hit like a particular critical load, then I'm able to release them as a dumpster fire episode, kind of spinning them together. And so that's what we're going to do today. We're going to do a dumpster fire episode, and we're going to take a look at some pretty egregious stuff. And part of it is going to be something that's, if you're familiar with all at all with Chris Vallotton and Bethel Redding, words that Chris Vallotton has spoke many times. You know, this is part of a standard stump speech of his. But I want to examine it in light of a particular passage of Scripture and something that Jesus said in particular. So let me do this. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. So let's whirl up the desktop, and I can't wait for winter to be over, to be honest with you. Okay. And, you know, it lasts a long time up here in North Dakota. And let's do this. I'm going to whirl up this, and let me pull up the Scriptures first. And here's the text that I want to use to kind of frame what it is that we're going to be grinding on today's dumpster fire. And Matthew chapter 7, Christ says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits." Now, so many people think that fruits have only to do with, you know, how they conduct their life. And as a result of it, they do not understand that it's both doctrine and life. Doctrine and life both are going to be what produces fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? No. And then watch what Christ says. These are very exclusive claims on his part. "Every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit." So part of what we're going to be looking at today is we're going to be looking at Bob Jones and how Chris Vallotton talks about him. And I'm going to note that what the charismatics refuse to come to grips with is that every tree bears fruit of one kind or another, and the diseased tree cannot bear good fruit. And the healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit. That's just how this works. And so we're going to kind of ask the question today, are we dealing with healthy trees? Or are we dealing with diseased trees? I think, and we're going to use doctrine and life for the purposes of working this out. And there's a reason for that. In fact, you know, I didn't prepare this text, but it's a text I go to regularly. In the book of Titus, talking about those who should be allowed to be teachers in Christ's church. It's not my church, it's his. So Paul says to Titus, he says, "This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put remain in order. Appoint elders in every town as I directed you. If anyone is above reproach, husband of one wife, his children are believers, not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination. For an overseer as God's steward must be above reproach." So you'll note that in order for somebody to be a teacher, a pastor in Christ's church, there's a moral component to this. This has to deal with their life. They must be above reproach. Must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or drunkard or violent or greedy for gain, hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined, he must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and to rebuke those who contradict it. So you can see the two running together, doctrine and life, doctrine and life. And in fact, I would note that in 1 Timothy 4:16, we have a similar concept here. Keep a close watch on yourself, talking about how you conduct your life, and on the doctrine. Okay, persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. So doctrine and life go together. In so many charismatic churches, as long as somebody hasn't been caught engaging in sexual sin, then whatever they manifest, they'll say that's the Holy Spirit. But then when they get caught in sexual sin, they have a weird thing where they kind of downplay it. And they can't come to grips with the fact that Christ says, listen, healthy trees bear good fruit. Diseased tree bears bad fruit. Healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit. And those who give false prophecies, that every false prophecy is bad fruit. You'll note that true prophets don't give false prophecies. They only give true prophecies. That being the case, a false prophet who gives false prophecies is bearing bad fruit, and that shows that they're a diseased tree. Conversely, when there's sexual immorality involved with somebody claiming to have a prophetic ministry, that speaks to the fact that this is diseased. This is a diseased tree that we're looking at. So keep this in mind as we kind of work our way through our dumpster fire stuff today. First up is going to be Lance Wallnau. He recently appeared at a conference held by Awakened Church in San Diego, and I want you to see how he began his conference lecture there in San Diego. And at the time I recorded this, this was less than a month ago. So, in fact, I wonder if I can get the date. This was February 1st, 2024. Watch this.
I'm going to do a little exercise now that got me in real trouble. I used to do this thing where I would take a scene out of the movie Gladiator where they would all lock their shields. And the Maximus would tell them as they locked their shields in the middle of the arena, he would say, as the chariots are coming down to roll them over and break them up, he said, hold, hold. And then as they came forward, he said, as one. And then when he said as one, boom, they all shouted back, as one, and they locked their shields. And when they did that, the chariots hit them and boom, were repulsed. And I looked at that when this was like the year 2000, 1999, whenever that movie came out. And it's as though the Spirit of God hit me in that theater and said, the day will come when the gates of hell are going to release an assault against the church, but the church that has warriors that can lock their shields will repulse it. So, let's start.
Watch what he does next.
Start the conference by activating that gladiator spirit. Put your right hand up in the air.
He's going to what? He's going to activate the gladiator spirit. Are you kidding me? And the people there think, oh, yes, this is from the Lord. This is the word of the Lord, man. This is the best thing ever. This is Fruit Loops Looney Tunes town here. What on earth? I mean, this is up there with the taking the Gandalf stick and declaring an end of racism by saying to the spirit of racism, you shall not pass. Yeah, let me back this up. Just listen to what he says.
We'll repulse it. So, let's start the conference by activating that gladiator spirit. Put your right hand up in the air. On the count of three, you're going to bring it down strong, a prophetic statement. You're going to say, as one, just like that. Now,
a prophetic statement, just quoting, re-quoting a line from the movie Gladiator, a movie that's almost 25 years old.
I want you to do this with almost like a spiritual aggression, because it's not...
You got to do it with spiritual aggression. Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, this isn't like a Tony Robbins moment. This is a prophetic gesture. Because prophetically, bam, you're releasing something. All right, run the count of three. Ready? One, two, three. Has one! Oh, very good.
Wow, they just released the gladiator spirit. So my question at this point, what kind of tree are we looking at here? This is a diseased tree. Absolutely a diseased tree. There's more evidence that we can bring to bear here, but nobody who's a true minister of Christ would be doing such things. How do I know? Well, you know, because there's this thing called the Bible. And if I would go to like 2 John, right? You know, the epistle of 2 John. There's a wonderful statement here. Many deceivers have gone out in the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver. Watch yourselves that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. Can you point to me the biblical text that teaches about the gladiator spirit and how you can activate it by getting a group of people to use spiritual aggression and then shout together and say, as one, you know? Yeah, that's a perfect example of not abiding in the teaching of Christ and going on ahead and leaving it behind. That's exactly what Lance Wallnau has done here. And I would note he spends quite a bit of time selling his books after he does that prophetic activation. You know, let's see.
Everybody's all happy. He's going, this isn't what I saw. Are you he or am I supposed to look for somebody else? Because he saw a different administration. He saw a warrior taking over. He didn't see a healer that was, an itinerant preacher. And so I'm suggesting to you that we're living in the day now where you're in danger of having such an incubation of a Jesus that was suitable for a previous era of time that when the warrior shows up, you don't even know if it's Jesus.
He's selling his books. They will, in their greed, they will exploit you with false words, the scripture says. You can see why I didn't think that this warranted an entire episode of Fighting for the Faith. That's why I put it in our dumpster fire. So dumpster fire, point number one, is the activating of the gladiator spirit. Okay. Next up, this is Robert Hodgkins, and I don't know if you all know this, but Patricia King has started her own church. This was several years back that she started her own church. It may even be a decade old now at this point. And so this is a Sunday morning service at Shiloh, which is the name of that church, and Robert Hodgkins is the guest preacher. And over and again, I have had charismatics claim that, oh, no, listen, you know, just because we're getting prophetic words from God, those don't supersede the scriptures and stuff. No. They're the Bible is the Bible, and that's the authority, and we know that's what's supposed to be preached. Well, I would note here, Robert Hodgkins, filling in for the pastor of the day there at Shiloh Fellowship on this Sunday, he's going to be preaching a word from God. And how much would you want to bet it's not found in the scriptures? Yeah, let's listen in.
And I'm really glad that I get to, because this is the anointing that I walk in. Something simple, but profound and deep.
The duh anointing? What's that?
And I'm really encouraged to share it with you. We've been talking a lot about the season that we're in. And we've been talking a lot about how we're in a warfare season and what that means, that warfare seasons are never about what the enemy's doing. It's always about God's created and ordained opportunity for us to partner with him and take...
So we've been talking about, you know, these were words spoken at the beginning of 2024. By Patricia King, claiming that this is the word of the Lord for 2024. We're in a warfare season. What is Robert Hodgkins preaching on? Patricia King's prophetic word, claiming that this is the word of the Lord that we need to be focusing on during the sermon at their church. Huh.
Territory from the enemy. The reason the enemy manifests and attacks in warfare seasons is because he's terrified of you, because he knows this is a season where God will work with you to take territory. So the enemy tries to push back, intimidate. But you know the rally cry we learned from Patricia and Shirley years ago. When we notice him doing that, our rally cry is, devil, you're going to be sorry you ever tried. So in a warfare season, we're taking territory. But remember, one of our prophetic words for 2024 for this house is that...
Okay, no, he's preaching on the prophetic word for 2024, not the biblical text.
There'll be spoils of war in 2024, and there's faith to believe for more in 2024. And this is a season where we're not just contending for payback. We're not only contending to get back what is...
All right, already you can tell. Diseased tree or healthy tree? Diseased. He's not preaching the word. I would note, okay, so let's just kind of talk a little bit about what is supposed to be preached in Christ's church. It's not my church. It's Jesus's church, okay? So we've already noted, John says, everyone who goes on ahead and doesn't abide in the teaching of Christ doesn't have God. Yeah, diseased trees don't bear good fruit. But a couple of texts to consider in this regard. So if I were to go to Matthew chapter 28, okay? Matthew chapter 28, a passage everyone's familiar with if they've spent any time in church, and that is the Great Commission. And the Great Commission says, Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore, make disciples. Make disciples, that's the imperative. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Where is the only place I can find that? In the Bible. Yeah. In fact, pastors are legitimately ordered by God the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul to, well, preach the word. Yeah, there's only one thing they're allowed to preach in Christ's church, and that's the word. Paul says, you know, as for you, continue what you've learned, this is 2 Timothy 3, and believe knowing whom you have learned it, how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, that's your context, immediate context here, and the word is grammata, sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture, graphe, is breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. And then I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who's the judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, what are we supposed to preach in church? Preach the word. Standing orders. So when am I, as a pastor, I'll give you an example that that many of you will understand. What Sunday, you know, and what text will I be preaching on that teaches that the Virgin Mary was always a virgin and that her and her husband never consummated their marriage and therefore Semper Virgo? What biblical text will I be preaching on to teach Semper Virgo? There's no biblical text that says it. So I'll never be preaching that, will I? How about the biblical text that says that Mary had an immaculate conception, or that, you know, she was immaculately conceived by her mother? No biblical text says that either. So I will never be preaching those doctrines, because my job's to preach the word. Which biblical text will I be preaching that teaches us that we need to pray to the Virgin Mary and to dead saints? There's no biblical text that said such things. So my job is to preach the word, so those doctrines will never be taught from the pulpit that I'm preaching from, because my job is to preach the word. And you get the idea here. So which biblical text will I be preaching on to talk about the warfare season that we're in, and that there's more in 2024? My job is to preach the word, so I won't be doing this. So Robert Hodgkins here, he's gone beyond the biblical text, and at this point, he's preaching a false prophetic word by a known false prophet, Patricia King, and that's the basis for his sermon on a Sunday morning. Yet the charismatics say, no, these prophetic words, they don't replace the Bible. Right, okay.
Lost or been stolen. We'll see that, but there's spoils coming in, and spoils is more. Spoils is more than we ever had even before we went to war. So in this season, one of the things God is doing is he's looking for those who are willing to partner with him and believe for the impossible.
Oh, no. Are you willing to partner with God and believe for the impossible?
Anybody getting some impossible dreams lately? If you are, post your impossible dreams online. We want to hear that stuff. I've got to be honest with you. In January, I was having a ball with the Lord. Every day when I showed up in the morning to go to war, I couldn't go to war. I went to joy. I would be just so excited about what we were co-laboring with God to do. And he gave me more and more impossible and then ridiculous things to believe for. And then once I was willing to believe for...
Ridiculous. Yeah, that's true. But God didn't give it to you.
Those, he started giving me ridiculously impossible and impossibly ridiculous things. And it just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And one morning, the Lord and I were dreaming together. But it went beyond dreaming. It was like he brought...
You were doing what with the Lord? How does one do that?
Brought me into this realm of the impossible, and I was moving in this realm of lands and houses and buildings and all these new projects and all this new reach and all these things that we were getting to co-labor together with him, and I could feel it. I could see it. I was inside of it. It was more than just a dream. It became this realm of the impossible, but in the realm, it looked and felt and was so very possible.
Right, were there rainbows and lollipops, unicorns, and Puff the Magic Dragon there?
Here's what happened, though. It got to this point where it was so big and so ridiculously impossible and so full of joy and so real. It was like I was Peter, and the Lord had said,
It's like you were Peter. Uh-huh. You ain't nothing like Peter.
Did you come? Step up.
Peter preached Christ.
Out under the waters of the impossible with me. And for days, we...
Wait. Listen to what he just said. Oh my goodness.
It was the impossible and so full of joy and so real. It was like I was Peter and the Lord had said, I bid you come. Step out under the waters of the impossible with me. And for...
Jesus didn't tell Peter to step out onto the waters of the impossible. You've just hijacked that text. And by the way, the whole point of that text is not Peter walking on the water. I know that sounds like crazy talk, but yeah, well, that's just how I roll. Let me see. Ghost. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to look for the word ghost. Matthew 24. There we go. Matthew 14. Consider this text, okay? So he's just hijacked it for his own purposes. In this account, we got Jesus feeding the 5,000, and then the text says Jesus walked on the water. So listen to what's really going on in this passage. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, "Take heart, it is I, Mephibosheth, do not be afraid." Okay, now, the English here doesn't do us, doesn't help us. Let's take a look at the Greek on this one. "Take heart," and then he says these words, "Ego, eimi." I am. That's Jesus invoking the divine name from Exodus chapter 3. So take heart, I am. Mephibosheth, do not be afraid. That's what Christ is getting at. And the whole point here is that Jesus, in saying that, is revealing that he is God in human flesh. He is the ego, eimi. He's the I am of Exodus 3. So Peter answered him, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying, "Oh, you of little faith." And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And here's the punchline. And those in the boat worshiped Jesus, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." The punchline has nothing to do with Peter. It has everything to do with the fact that they recognize then that Jesus is the I am of Exodus 3. He, because that's what he called himself. And now they worship him, and he has to be God in order to receive worship. Worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And they worship Jesus, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." That's the point of this passage. So Robert Hodgkins here, definitely a bad tree, and multiple evidences of that. And he doesn't have to be sleeping with multiple women who are not his wife in order for him to be a bad tree. We can tell by his doctrine already.
For days, weeks, I'm walking on the waters of the impossible with him, dreaming more, decreeing and declaring, framing it all in the spirit for us to all walk in. And then one day, all of a sudden, I started sinking. It was like Peter, and I started to sink. And the Lord picked me up, and he said, "What happened there?" And I realized, what did happen? And I said, "Lord..." All of a sudden it hit me, and this was just the other day. all of a sudden, Lord, I started to think, how am I going to get there? How do I get from here to there? How, after 20 years in full-time ministry, where I haven't...
The one thing we could say is that this is not a biblical sermon. And let me back this up a little bit, because I want you to take a look at the crowd, okay? So this is the congregation there at Shiloh. And let me turn this off. Notice how, like, distracted and disengaged and kind of not buying it. Right. Okay. Just a saying. All right. Last bit here. We're going to spend a little bit of time listening to something that Chris Vallotton put out. When I recorded this, it had only been out for a few days, but this came out as live streamed on February 21st, 2024. And fortunately, I was watching it. Well, I would note that my very good friend Justin Peters has already commented on the fact that at like the 43-minute mark here, two of the pastors from Bethel claimed that angel feathers were falling during their worship there. What a load of garbage. Anyway, since he's already covered that, I'm not going to cover the renewed claims regarding angel feathers falling at Bethel. Instead, we're going to listen to Chris Vallotton, and we're going to listen to him lionizing Bob Jones, the late Bob Jones. And I think here is where we need to put down some evidence, some data. And so this goes all the way back. Minister Bob Jones removed after confession of sexual misconduct. Okay, so this is from the Olathe Daily News from 1991. Okay, an associate of an Olathe church has been removed from his ministry duties after a confession of sexual misconduct involving two area parishioners. Bob Jones, an associate of the Olathe Worship Center of the Metro Vineyard Fellowship of Kansas City, confessed Saturday to sexual misconduct with two women who attended a Vineyard church in the Kansas City area, said Ken Gullickson, North American coordinator for the Association of Vineyard Churches. Jones, 63, was removed from his church duties for an undetermined amount of time. I would note that this church never restored him. It was Mike Bickle who did. Anyway, while ministering at the church's national headquarters in Anaheim, California last weekend, Jones was confronted with allegations of the incident by several close friends, Gullickson said. The two women, after confronting Jones with their concerns about the possible impropriety of the incident, brought it to the attention of church leaders in Kansas City when confronted. Gullickson said Jones confessed to the allegations. They caught him. Okay. He was ministering here in California on Saturday, Gullickson said, and he was very effective and very helpful. He's a sweet guy, separate from the incident. He's a sweet guy. Okay, I'm not so sure he is a sweet guy, because the incident, we know what happened. From a different website, same concept here. Soon after the Vineyard Fellowship had started to work with Kansas City Fellowship, Jones was removed from his ministry duties at the Vineyard due to sexual misconduct. This misconduct did not include intercourse, but consisted of encouraging women to undress in his office so that they could stand naked before the Lord in order to receive a word. A good tree does not bear bad fruit. And that's spoken not in the context of pastors. Okay, let me come back to our opening text here. This is in the context of prophets. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. Now, granted, you know, if a pastor engages in sexual misconduct, he's sinned and he's disqualified from the office. But if he rightly handled God's word during his time as a pastor, then the people receive the word of God correctly. But a person claiming to be a prophet, You'll note here, Jesus makes some very exclusive claims. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. Inwardly, they are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. are grapes gathered from thorn bushes. No, figs from thistles. No. So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. I would note that having women receive a prophetic word from the Lord by having them stripped down naked in front of you so that they can be naked before the Lord, that's bad fruit, and a good tree cannot bear bad fruit. That means Bob Jones, according to Jesus' standard, is a diseased tree. So was Mike Bickle. So was Paul Kane. And you're starting to see the point that I'm making here. There's a little bit more that I think is interesting in this article. Gullickson would not elaborate on the incident other than to say that during the past 6 months, Jones delved into sexual misconduct, but we know the details, but that it did not involve sexual intercourse. No, it just involved oogling women by telling them to take off all their clothes to receive a word of the Lord, you know, while naked before him. Jones, who is not an ordained minister, has been with the Olathe Church for about a year and a half and in the Kansas City area Vineyard churches since 1983. Jones is considered a nationally recognized prophetic leader. That's the problem. He's bearing bad fruit. Okay. The incident occurred while Jones was ministering prophetic teaching, his supernatural gift of knowing and preaching the words of God. Gullickson said, usually these situations are done with several people in attendance, including a church pastor. This incident did not occur in that context. Then it goes on to explain what ended up happening. As far as his discipline. Okay, and so the Vineyard churches issued a letter regarding the incident and said, the sins for which Bob has been removed from ministry include using his gifts to manipulate people for his own personal desires, sexual misconduct, rebelling against pastoral authority. There's more to this story. Slandering leaders, and the promotion of bitterness within the body of Christ. So I would note that at the time, Bob Jones's sins included sexual misconduct, but were not limited to them. Again, a good tree does not bear bad fruit. A diseased tree cannot bear good fruit. Bob Jones is a bad tree. And in an upcoming episode of Fighting for the Faith, one I'm working on and hope to actually have on the program, my good friend from the Messed Up Church, Stephen Kozar, helped to have Kozar in. We're going to discuss some of Bob Jones's false prophecies as well, especially as it relates to IHOP. But in the meantime, there's a video that if you want more details on just what a complete wingnut crackpot Bob Jones was, then the Long for Truth channel has an hour-long episode called Exposing IHOP KC Bob Jones, and worth the watch. And I would note that Dan and his wife not only expose IHOP in this episode, they also expose Bethel. And I mean, noticeably, because Bob, there's several videos, video bites in this episode where Bob Jones is teaching at Bethel, and the stuff he's teaching and having people do is just wingnut wackerdoodleism. But alas, I'll save that for an upcoming episode. So the last of our bits here, when it comes to this dumpster fire episode of Fighting for the Faith, is going to be Chris Vallotton, from just this week, lionizing a man who obviously is a false prophet and a diseased tree because of his bad fruit. And his bad fruit, it stinks to high heaven. I can smell it all the way here in North Dakota from Kansas City. But all that being said, I have to note that we have to transmogrify Chris Vallotton's voice and the video, because Bethel doesn't think that it's right for them to be criticized. And so every time anybody criticizes them and uses their videos, they try to take them down and stuff. And so we transmogrify them so that they have a much harder time with their copyright claims. But, you know, so we just don't like making things easy for them. So if you're wondering, why did we distort Chris Vallotton so badly? Because they think they're above the law and the law doesn't apply to them, and that the rules of fair use are not applicable to Bethel. So we just mess this up even worse just in order to make the point and to make it harder for them to take down our videos. So let's listen to Chris Vallotton from this past Wednesday literally lionizing a man who legitimately is a diseased tree, and you can tell by his fruit. And according to Christ, you'll be able to spot the false prophets by their fruit. And Bob Jones is just one big cornucopia of rotten and diseased fruit. Here we go.
But one of the people that I also learned friendship with was Bob Jones. I don't know if any of you ever had the privilege of hearing Bob Jones. How many of you ever heard Bob Jones the prophet? I know there's a Paul, let's talk about Bob Jones University.
The privilege of hearing Bob Jones. Privilege. The guy's a false prophet and a wingnut.
I think that's a nonprofit organization, but talk about Bob. How many of you ever were in a room with Bob Jones, the prophet? How many of you ever saw Bob Jones, the prophet, on something? Raise your hand. Yeah, so Bob was he became a really good friend of ours and really a father to this house in some ways. And he was, if you don't know, Bob was a very...
So, a father to this house. That's an interesting statement on his part. You see, because Bob Jones is a diseased tree, and Chris Vallotton is saying, yes, the Bethel tree, it fell from the bad fruit of Bob Jones. So did IHOP, by the way. So he's ascribing paternity to Bethel, you know, for Bethel in part to Bob Jones. That's telling, because Bob Jones is a diseased tree. He doesn't bear good fruit.
Kind of strange. Yeah, not kind of. He was a strange person. And he was, you know, there's strange bad and strange good. And Bob was like strange, mostly good. And I've told this story so many times, but it just so illustrates like somebody who loves God in a way that became a friend of God and had revelation that flowed out of friendship. And I remember when I first came here, I think it was the first year, I'm pretty sure it was the first year I was here, we had a prophetic conference, and Bob Jones and Larry Randolph were our main speakers. And I didn't know anybody. I had seen Bob Jones on film before, and I had met Larry Randolph once or twice, but I didn't know any of them. And so Bill said to me, hey, listen, tomorrow morning, you go pick Bob and Larry up. Well, first of all, he goes, hey, why don't you go pick Bob up at the airport? And I'm like, all right. And I'm like, okay.
Maybe I should just give you a preview of what's in this video. The link is going to be down below in the description. And let's just fast forward to just near the end. So this is Bob Jones and his wife, Bonnie. I think they're at Bethel here. And let's just watch a little bit of this, shall we?
He's told me recently, I want you to quit doing the miracles. I want you to quit feeding them fish. I want you to teach them to fish. So, this is the first place I want to take you. I want you to go up. I'm going to have you get up very shortly. And raise your hands. And I want you taking deep breaths. And the reason I'm having you take those deep breaths is so you won't pray. And you're going to go up.
So they're going to take deep breaths and they're going to go up to heaven. You know, Bob Jones is kind of like Cat Curry. Been to heaven a bazillion times.
Go give your daddy a visitation.
Oh, you're going to go visit your daddy, you know, your father in heaven. You're going to visit him. Okay.
Now, I'm going to tell you something that some people really get offended when I say this. I don't care. I was just talking to Chris. 40 years ago, when I began to go up, I'd go up there and I'd see that white light and that beautiful throne, and I'd crawl up in it and sit on my daddy's lap. Some of you just...
Yep, that's Bethel.
He's never known your daddy before. Get ready to know him. And know him intimately. Wind's been blowing over you ever since I've been speaking. That's angel activity. So now if you'll stand up.
Look at all these undiscerning, biblically illiterate, gullible, deluded people.
Put your hands up. Put your head up. Reason I want your head put up, so many of you are tried with rejection. There's no rejection here. They're just sons and daughters. Now take a deep breath. Come, Holy Spirit. Good. You're going. Good.
So they're all going up to sit on Daddy's lap. And this is how you do it. You hold your hands over your head and you take deep breaths and phew, you can go give Daddy a visitation. That's who we're talking about here. Diseased tree, indeed.
Okay. He's like, yes, pick him up and take him to the hotel and get him all settled. So I'm all right. So I go to the airport and I'm actually a little nervous. No, I'm a lot nervous. Because I've seen this guy on video, and he's like this famous prophet, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this, you know, I got to make sure to confess all my sins before I see him. So I go to the little ready, we have a ready airport. Some of you flew into that airport, pretty small airport, and I get there about a half an hour early. The planes never arrive early. They're always late, almost always late. So I get there half an hour early, and Bob is already there with his suitcases. And he has like three big suitcases. He doesn't write books, and he wore one pair of clothes the whole time. So I don't know what was in those suitcases. And I have to explain Bob to you in case you haven't ever seen Bob. So Bob, his pants are like this. Seriously. He has a sweatshirt. He wears like an extra large at least. And he has like a medium pulled over the top of his stomach with a big eagle on it, which he wore for the entire conference. And then Bob just kind of walks like this. So and he's, you know, and when I met him, he's probably like, I don't know, 65 or something. So I said, hey, hi.
So you met him a year and a half after he got sat down for having women take off all their clothes to receive a prophecy naked before the Lord.
Hey, I'm Chris. He goes, you're late. He doesn't say hi. He says, you're late. I said, no, I'm actually on time. He goes, hey, I said you're late. I said, oh, okay. So I grabbed his suitcases, three of them, and I load them into the car and I get them all settled. And he's already sitting in the front seat. And so we take off for the hotel, and he's like, yeah, you see the angels? I'm like, oh yeah, I see them all the time. Complete lying my face off. I'm like a total wannabe prophet. He goes, yeah, the angels, you know, when we landed, the angels came, and they were following them, and he's going on about angels and about the war over Reading, and I just like, I have no idea what he's talking about. And about
the guy sounds like he should have been in a psych ward.
Every 3 or 4 minutes, he turns to me and goes, yeah, you get that? I'm like, oh yeah, I get it. Yeah, I get that. And the whole time, I'm like, this guy is strange. And so I get him to the hotel, get him all settled, and then Bill said, the next morning, Bill's like, hey, go pick up Bob and Larry from the hotel. I'm like, okay. So, all right, okay, Bob and Larry. So I get to the hotel. I know Bob's always, I figure out that Bob likes to be early. So I get there like 20 minutes early, and Bob is standing outside. And as soon as I get there, he goes, you're late. I just pop out of that room any minute. So I knock some more, nothing happens. We ring some more, nothing happens. I'm like, and now it's like 20 minutes have passed. He's like, oh, Larry always late. And I'm like, he's like, what you take? And I said, well, Bill told me to pick you both up. Oh, Larry always late. A half an hour passes, 40 minute passes. Now I'm like, I can't get Bob to the conference on time. Now I'm like, now he's really like agitated. And he's just, I don't know, saying things in tongues or something under his breath. We knock some more. Now it's like 45 minutes. And finally I knock, and Larry comes to the door. His shirt's buttoned wrong. It looks like he fell asleep in it. His hair's everywhere. And he goes, ah, I had a hard night. And Bob goes, yeah. He goes, there was a demon in your room last night, wasn't there? There was a demon in your room last night, wasn't there? And Larry goes, oh, yeah. He tormented me all night. He goes, yeah. He came to my room last night, and I said, you in the wrong room, Larry, next door.
Is there any reason to believe that any of this is from God, the Holy Spirit, the actual God that exists?
I have told that story 40 times. That's like one of my favorite stories.
Oh, he tells another one too.
So we go through the...
What biblical text is he preaching right now? He ain't.
Conference, and I could tell you five stories about that. It was nuts the whole time. And like, I'm supposed to take care of Bob, which is like, where'd Bob go? Where'd Bob go? And so I take Bob to the airport. We've been together now, I don't know, 4 days or whatever. I take Bob to the airport and, you know, I get him all settled and get his, I have no idea what was in those suitcases from, and I get him all settled and all checked in. And he goes, hey, you know, yeah, hey, he goes, give me your phone number. If you're ever in trouble, I'll call you. Give me your phone number. If you're ever in trouble, I'll call you. I'm like, oh, okay. So I rip off, you know, something, I find a piece of paper and I write my phone number on it. And I'm trying to figure out, like, did I mishear him? Like, if you're ever in trouble, I'll call you. Okay. And I gave him the phone number and I'm like, he's never going to call me, you know? So Kathy and I, yeah, it was the first year because we were living in that apartment still. And so after that whole thing happened, I started having tormenting dreams. And we had a two-bedroom apartment. And it got so bad that I would get up in the middle of the night and go to the second room and just go in there and pray. And there's like, I was having tormenting things, demons showing up in my room, crazy dreams. I kept having this reoccurring crazy dream. This went on for like 2 weeks. And about the end of 2 weeks, about, I don't know, 6 o'clock in the morning, I get a phone call. And I had just fallen asleep. And Kathy gets the phone and she's like, Bob Jones on the phone. I'm like, no way. She's like, yeah, Bob Jones on the phone. I'm like, oh, okay. So I said, are you sure? She goes, oh yeah, it's Bob Jones. So I pick up the phone, I'm like, hello? Go, eh, I told you, if you're ever in trouble, I called you. I said, oh, thank you. And he's like, yep, yep. And he goes, you've been having this bad nightmare and this demon showing up in your room. And then he tells me the nightmare that I've been having for 2 weeks. I'm like, yeah, that's it. He goes, yep, yep.
And that any reason to believe that this, the origin of Bob Jones' information is God the Holy Spirit? No, none. His origin, because he's a diseased tree, it's the demonic. It's the demonic telling him what the demonic is doing.
He even come in and torment you. I'm like, yeah, that one too. That's been doing that. He goes, yeah, well, the Lord comes to send you some angels and no. And he goes on. I have no idea what he's talking about. Did you get that? Oh, yeah, I got it, yeah. Told me some other stuff, and I was so out of it. And so I hang up the phone. And then I'm like, well, Kathy's like, what happened? Oh, I don't know. Bob Jones just said, explain my dream to me and told me the angels are going to come help me. She's like, oh, I hope they do. I'm like, yeah, me too. So like, I think it was a day or two later, I'm in the second room because I'm still tormented, and all of a sudden there's an earthquake, and the whole bed is shaking, and I live in California, so it's not uncommon. So I'm like, I wake up, it's sunrise, so whatever time that is, and it's summertime, so I'm laying on my back, and my bed is shaking violently, and I'm like, wow, we're in an earthquake, and I look up, and there's a chandelier in the middle of the room that's totally stable. It's not moving, and I'm still waking up, and I'm like, oh, this is really weird. Like, why is the chandelier not moving? But my bed is trembling. And I look up like this, and there's a man standing by my bed. Like a really big man. Like, I don't know, 7 foot tall, maybe. Looks like maybe Shaq, like he's that big. And he has no shirt on. And he's like, he looks like a bodybuilder. And he's got black wrestling tights on and no shoes. He's got coal black hair. He looks like he's a Native American, and he's got black eyes. And he's standing at my bed like this, staring at me. And first I say,
it's another demon, dude.
Hey, to myself, in my mind, well, someone broke into my house. And then I think, well, my bed's shaking. Why is my bed shaking? Then I go, well, that must be an angel. And as soon as I say that in my mind, he evaporates in front of me. So I call Bob. I said, hey, Bob, I think I saw an angel this morning. He go, yeah. He said, did he have black wrestling tights on? I said, yeah. He goes, did he look like a bodybuilder? I said, yeah. He goes, did he have coal black hair and black eyes and look like an Indian? I said, yeah. He goes, was he in a bad mood? I said, yeah. He goes, that Michael, he always in a bad mood.
Michael the Archangel, topless bodybuilder, build wrestling tights, Native American in a bad mood. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You'll recognize them by their fruits, Christ said. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? No. So every healthy tree bears good fruit. The diseased tree cannot bear bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and is thrown into the fire. Thus you'll recognize them by their fruits. Bob Jones's fruit is rancid. And in both doctrine and in life, the man's a false prophet, and he's given multiple false prophecies. Google this if you don't believe me. A while back, Bob Jones prophesied when the Kansas City Chiefs win the Super Bowl, that means that the end times revival is going to get kicked off. Well, the Kansas City Chiefs have won the Super Bowl now three times in recent years, and still no sign of that end times revival. Yeah, just saying. Again, the guy is, he's a diseased tree. He's got bad fruit galore. And the fact that Chris Vallotton considers him to be a father tells you something about Chris Vallotton, who's also given false prophecies and twists up the scripture. He is also a false prophet who is a diseased tree that doesn't bear good fruit. So hopefully you enjoyed this installment of Fighting for the Faith. If so, all the information on how to share the video is down below in the description. And of course, I'd like to thank those of you who support us financially and make it possible to bring Fighting for the Faith to you and to the world. We cannot do what we're doing here without your assistance and your help. And so we thank you for making it possible for us to do this work that we're doing, to warn the body of Christ and teach them how to use God's word to compare what people are saying in God's name to God's actual word, so that they would not be deceived and instead find churches where pastors are faithfully handling and preaching the word. Thank you. You make it possible for us to do this. If you'd like to join our crew, there's a link down below in the description that'll take you to our website, and you can join our crew and support us financially as well. Thank you for those of you who do. So until next time, may God richly bless you in the grace and mercy won by Jesus Christ and his vicarious death on the cross for all of your sins. Amen.
So nice to see that you've made it to the end. Before you inevitably click on another video to continue binging our glorious content, you should know about some of our other offerings. First off, some of you may know that our pirate captain is also the pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church out in Oslo, Minnesota. The editor that I totally don't have locked in my basement produces audio and video versions of Kongsvinger sermons and Sunday schools weekly. So go check out kongsvingerchurch.org to see all of our offerings. Now, to address some of the frequently asked questions we get in the comments. 1. The Bible and video editing software we use are named and linked in the description down below. 2. If you wish to donate to us directly so that we can keep the lights on, go check out www.piratechristian.com and hit the crew tab. We don't promise miraculous healings or a double increase in your finances, but what we do promise is more quality discernment from our studio into your ear holes. And 3. How do you tie up with boxing gloves? Okay, who's the wiseacre who put this in here?